Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the I Love Authorpreneurs campaign. Now let's introduce our host, Sharon C. Jenkins, the Master Communicator.
Hello, everyone. This is Sharon C. Jenkins, the Master Communicator. And we are on the day next to the last day of our I Love Entrepreneurs campaign. And we just happened to be in California this morning on this virtual train trip with Mike Murphy. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Sharon. How are you today?
Excellent, excellent. Listening audience, Mike is the founder of the Love from Margo Foundation in Oakland, California, which he created in 2012 in memory of his wife, Margo, to help those suffering from cancer and other life-threatening diseases. He funds the foundation through his work as president of the Volkswagen of Oakland, his job for the past 17 years. He is a professional author, blogger, and speaker whose true passion in life is to serve and inspire others to serve. Mike has four beautiful children and three amazing grandchildren. He loves to spend time with the clients of the foundation and practice. Is it Bikram or Bikram, Mike? Help me with this one.
Yeah, it's Bikram yoga, the hot yoga.
Oh, okay. I love it, love it, love it. And he loves to travel. His philosophy is be honest, fear nothing, love deeply, laugh often. Ooh, Mike, I love it, love it, love it. Love your story. Love your story.
Thank you.
I really feel love. That's the whole purpose of this campaign, is to reach out and love somebody. So when I saw that you were going to be on our show, I was thrilled beyond thrilled because you're going to talk about love today.
Exactly. That's what the world needs a lot of right now, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, you know, there's two parts of it, really. There's my story that, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home. I left home at the age of 14, and I woke up at the age of 23 a complete loser in life. You know, I had no education. I had no money, no net worth. The only thing I had going for me was bad credit. And my future was very bleak. And then I met a man who said, listen, if you come here 1 hour a week for 7 weeks, I'll show you how you can get everything you want in your life. And he taught me the process of manifestation, and he taught it in a way which, you know, very few people teach, and that is where each week I would write out an intention of something I wanted in my life and link strong desire to it. And so at the end of 6 weeks, I had six of these. And on the week seven, he said, okay, what we're going to do today, and remember, this was in the 80s, so technology was a little different. He said, we're going to record your intentions. And he brought out a boombox, and he played Theta Brainwave music. And then he brought out a cassette player, and he had me record these six intentions in my own voice after I put myself into a sort of relaxate state, hypnotic-type state. And so I would listen to these intentions every morning and every day and every night, and all of these intentions came through just beyond my wildest dreams. And so that's story number one. Story number two is fast forward to 2000. I met a young woman, and I fell in love with her, only to discover 10 months later a malignant tumor in her breast, and she was only 29 years old. So having gone through that experience for 9 years and then her subsequent death, I came to the realization that material success and wealth, those are good things, especially when you're young and you're raising a family. But at the end of the day, our legacy needs to be who did we love and who did we serve and what did we do to make humanity a little better off during our time here. So that's what my life is about today.
Mm. And another reason why I thought it was superb for you to be on the line this morning is because I think the world needs to really understand what a true servant leader is. And based on what I've done in my research about you, Mike, you fit that category. How do you bring richness to those in your life and the world around you as a servant leader specifically? What are your intents?
Well, I think the number one thing is just be willing to serve and then see who shows up. And so, you know, I have this nonprofit foundation, so a lot of people show up, mostly women, and all with cancer and all below the poverty line. And then just really just comes down to assessing the need of each situation and seeing what's the best thing we can do for them. Number one and foremost is to love them and support them on their journey. And then we need to find out some practical solutions to whatever their problem is. In some cases, it might be keeping the utilities on or helping pay the rent or transportation back and forth to their treatment. But the main thing is any of us, whether no matter what our financial situation, we can at least take 5 or 10, 15 minutes and get out of ourselves each day, whether it's just praying for someone else or walking somebody across the street or visiting somebody that might be lonely in a home. I mean, there's a million ways we can help people, but the most important thing is just take 5 or 10 minutes each day and send that love and energy out into the world, because there is a thing called consciousness. We have our individual consciousness, but then there's the humanity's consciousness, and we need it to shift in today's world and stop these wars and stop this all these people that are poor and homeless and fighting disease all by themselves.
One of the things that I'm curious about is what was the genesis for your book, Love Unfiltered? Was it your experience with your wife, or did it encompass your entire life experience?
Yeah, it's kind of my story, but a large part of it is what I went through with my wife and really what I went through after her death, where I was just frankly devastated. You know, even though I knew it was coming, You can really never prepare for that. And out of that devastation, what really got my life going again is I got a call from a young woman who was 38 and had breast cancer and asked if I could help her. And it was through helping her that I was able to get out of my own grief and my own turmoil and find freedom again and get my life going again. You know, so I really believe it's in service to others that we find ourselves, our highest self.
So as an entrepreneur, and our definition of entrepreneur is someone who masters the business side of writing. I know that you are the president of a dealership or several dealerships, and I know that you understand business and practice business principles on a regular basis. What are some of your recommendations for authors who need to embrace the business side of writing?
Well, you know, it's really the same thing. You know, in business, it takes hard work, discipline, and a plan. And, you know, I had no idea what I was getting into when I started writing books. But what I've learned is that writing the book, even though it's a very difficult, hard project, and everybody says they want to do it, but very few ever do, but that's the easy part, writing the book. Now you have to create a platform, and then you have to get the message out there so you can get people to read your book. You know, especially if you're passionate about loving and serving others as I am, you know, I want as many people as possible to read this book so that they can join the bandwagon and help make the planet a little better off. So it's really, you know, what I had to learn to do was how to build a platform, how to get a list, how to market to it, you know. And so I use social media, I use email blasts, Infusionsoft, my website. And so it's really, you know, it's like any other business. You need to figure out a plan, who you want to reach, how you're going to reach them, what you want to say, and then how you're going to get them to act. And it's just another business, but a much harder one than I've really ever experienced.
So let's go back to your philosophy. Be honest, fear nothing, love deeply, laugh often. And I'm going to ask you, when you say be honest, what does that mean in your terms?
Well, you know, that's interesting you ask that, because, you know, many, many years ago, maybe 06 or 07, I read a book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements. And in that, he talked about being impeccable with your word. And frankly, I didn't really grasp what he was saying. You know, we all know, you know, when we're telling a lie and when we're not. And, you know, a lot of us tell small little white lies. But being impeccable with your word is a whole other thing. And then after my wife died in June of 2011, I went to a school called The School to Work by Byron Katie. And I got to witness this amazing woman for 10 years in front of this room, 12-hour days, be totally impeccable with her word. Okay, everything was crystal clear what she was saying, and there was no room for error. Everything was black or white, and it was just fascinating to watch. So I finally grasped what it means to be impeccable with your word. And it's more than being honest. It's like if I go to send a text message and it's not 100% honest, you know, I'm trying to take an easy way out, I'm immediately stopped in my tracks and say, oh, no, you have to be impeccable with your word. You have to be clear. Now, I think if we would go back to that, you know, we wouldn't have all the mess that we have in the world today. I think integrity and ethics are a thing of the past, and we need to bring it back, especially in the business world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I strongly believe that small businesses have the power to help change the financial future of our country. I just really believe we have to re-embrace a strong moral core and start loving and caring and equipping and empowering people to fulfill their destiny.
Without a doubt. And really, you know, my message to people today is, you know, we need to wake up and start paying a little bit more attention to what's really going on and what our governments are up to and what's happening and what the Federal Reserve Bank really is and you know, how really, because I work with a lot of people that are poor financially but so rich in courage. And it frustrates me to no end because they're in everywhere you turn, they get the short end of the stick, whether it's the interest rate on their credit card or their house or when they go to buy a car or in the medical world. It's just so – there's such an injustice. That's what started my foundation. You know, and Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And it was out of this injustice that I saw this young woman who was a minority experience. Well, she had breast cancer. It was nothing like what me and my wife went through. And that's why I was compelled to start this foundation to serve people that really are getting screwed over by the system.
So that leads us to the next part of your philosophy, which is fear nothing. I recognize that fear stands for false evidence appearing real. What's your take on fearing nothing?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, so I watched this amazing. So in December 2010, the doctor said to my wife, you know, if you do nothing, you have 6 weeks to live, and if you treat it, you have 6 months to live. And she chose to treat it, and she fought gallantly for 6 months until she took her last breath and left her body. But see, I was able to witness amazing courage, and now I study courage. I've just been studying a young woman by the name of Rachel Corey, who gave her life standing in front of a bulldozer in the Gaza Strip in 2003 because she wanted to make a difference in the world. So when you realize that we're not our bodies are made up of 60 trillion individual conscious cells, and we're not our thoughts, a lot of them are crazy. So we're not our body, we're not our thoughts. What we are is we're eternal, timeless spirit, souls, energy. Okay, when you realize that, then nothing can ever go wrong. Okay, we're going to return to the source where we came from, where everything is perfect. So in this experience that we're having, called being a human being on planet Earth, then if you realize that who you really are, which is timeless and eternal, then nothing can ever go wrong. And so therefore, you can stare down fear, and it's not always easy, trust me, but start to get some courage. And what the world needs is now is courage, because as you said, you know, there's really two emotions, and everything stems from them. One is love, which is true and pure. And the other one is fear, which is false evidence appearing real. And the problem is society programs us to get stuck in fear. You know, we watch television for 12 minutes. They create a lot of fear, or they create a lot of desire, and then they try to sell us something. So we're in so much fear that we want to get out of that state that we buy whatever they're selling us. We have to realize that, you know, fear is just false evidence appearing real, as you so eloquently said, and we need to get to the state of love, and love then compels us to serve one another.
And that leads us to the next part of your philosophy, which is love deeply. And I know that you're being sold on the concept that sexual love is true love, but you and I know that that's not so. Talk to us a little bit about loving deeply.
Yeah, well, you know, and Jesus said this. I mean, the person we need to love first and foremost is ourselves, and we're programmed to really not like ourselves. So we need to realize, once again, who we really are, and that we're connected to the source, and more importantly, that we're connected to one another. There really is no separation. We all come from the source. We all return to the source. So we're all part of the source. And quantum physics, quantum mechanics proves this today, that there really is no separation. In fact, really all there is space, and we're all connected to this energy, this life force. And so when you realize that if I harm you, I'm harming me, and if governments could get this, when they realize they're dropping bombs on innocent people, they're really killing themselves, because we're all in this together. We are one, and there is no separation, and that is pure love when you come to that realization. And that's why, you know, Christ said, you know, do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. Because in reality, whatever I do to you, I'm doing to myself.
Well, one of the things that I've realized, Mike, is if you stand in a field and you look around you and the people that you see there are not there to harm you. Actually, if we came up with the concept that there are resources in those people, and collectively when we come together, we make the good that's needed in order to change whatever territory that we're in. If we fail to embrace each other and venture into building relationships, we tend to miss out on a whole lot if we decide that we're not going to love. So let's talk about this laughing often, because I love to laugh. Matter of fact, I have this weird laugh. God gave me this weird laugh, but I use it as often as I can. So talk to us a little bit about what your interpretation is of laughing often.
Well, you know, if you operate from a state of joy, okay, then you're always laughing. And if you realize that this human experience is so temporary, I mean, we're talking billions and billions of years of this universe, and we're here for, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, maybe 100 years. It's a blink of an eye, literally. And so what it means to me is not to take this that seriously and not to take myself that seriously. One thing I've learned as I grow older is that the truth is always evolving. As I learn more and I experience more, the truth is always evolving. So to have a rigid stance and say this is an absolute and this is an absolute, when in reality everything is always shifting and changing, and the truth, but the absolute truth is that love is the answer, love is the power, love is the source that we come from, and that's the energy. And when you realize that, everything outside of that really becomes humorous. Now, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm having this human experience, and I'll get caught up in certain moments, okay, and I'll lose sight of that. But then the trick is to, when you lose sight of that, realize that, get present once again, always be in the now. If you live in the now, there's never any problems. And then breathe deeply and get back in touch and connected to the source, and remember who you are and what you're doing, and then let everything else go. And the real power there is when we do something wrong is to immediately apologize and move forward, let it go, and stay out of the past, which is full of regret, stay out of the future, which is full of fear, and stay in the present moment. My wife was really having serious physical pain or problems, especially in the middle of the night. We had this technique, and I would say, honey, I want you to stay right here in this moment, not a second ago and not a second in the future. Stay in this moment right now. And I'd get her to get into that moment in the now, and we would pray. And everything was always okay in the moment. Okay, it was either remembering the pain or anticipating the pain. But when you stay in the moment and you can breathe and get centered and grounded and get connected to the source, then we can endure anything.
So true, Mike. That is so true. Now, I'm curious how you came up with the name for your book, Love Unfiltered. If you could share with us your journey to embracing that as the title of your book, we'd love to hear about that.
Well, you know, the hardest thing, frankly, I'm writing my third book right now. It's always the title and the subtitle are the hardest for me. But so the reason the unfiltered is I'm a pretty unfiltered person. My brother's wife, you know, whenever I'm over at their house, always reminds her little children. Now, remember, Uncle Mike has no filter. He's unfiltered. In business, I'm very direct and straight to the point. So I really don't have much of a filter, and I really say what I think and what I feel, sometimes to my demise, but that's the way it is. So the unfiltered part, that's how that came to be. And then really, it's all about love. And so The book had to be about love, and it's really a love story. I started to write a love story, which I just completed, and I started that right after my wife died. And in the middle of writing that, this book just came out of the woodwork. So I had to write this one first and kind of stop the other one, which I've now completed. So my life is about love today. Our foundation is about love, and I'm a little straightforward. So there you go.
Well, that's okay, Mike. I'm a straightforward girl myself, and I was shocked at how remarkably similar our journeys have been to this process of becoming entrepreneurs. Now, I've never ran a dealership, but just our beginning and some other similarities. So I feel a special kinship to you. I love the fact that you have a genuine heart to help others and you sincerely want to love others. And in that in itself takes a lot of courage. So what is this new book that's coming out?
Well, this book is called Living in Color. And as I stated before, on December 10, my wife was given two choices, 6 weeks or 6 months. And it focuses on those 6 months that she lived and everything that she went through and what we went through. And then it has flashbacks into our story, which truly is a love story, how we came to be and how our life and how we were just meant to be there for one another. You know, Plato talked that we're one soul cut in half, and we spend many lifetimes looking for the other half. And I really believe, and he called that twin flames. And so I really believe my wife, Margaret, was my twin flame. And it taught me so much. Even though she was 15 years younger than me, she taught me so much about what love really is. And so now, because of that education that I got to look at firsthand, you know, and write that book, which was a very healing way for me to heal by reliving it and getting it behind me, I think this book for anybody – I say this book is for anybody, of course, that ever experiences cancer, either as the patient or as the caretaker. This book is powerful. But really, it's about anybody that ever is going to die. Because I literally was blessed to be able to watch this young woman, 37 at the time, transcend death and transcend suffering. And every time she would let go of something in the material world, as death approached, it would be replaced with more love and more courage. And so when you're blessed to witness this that closely and that intimately, then your life becomes transformed. And that's my hope for this next book called Living in Color, that the reader's life will become transformed and they'll lose all fear of death. And once you lose all fear of death, then nothing has hold over you and you totally are truly free no matter what your circumstances.
I love it. Now, one of the things that I'd like to ask you in closing, because we've got approximately about 5 minutes left in our conversation, I'm curious about how, I know your life has been changed, but what is your fuel that keeps you loving unfiltered? As a male species, as a member of the male species, what keeps you in that frame of mind?
Well, you know, I think the biggest asset I have going for me are these amazing clients of our foundation that show up all the time. And their stories are so dramatic and powerful. And their hardship is, from where I sit, seems overwhelming. And I'm greeted with this unbelievable courage and love and softness and beauty in spite of all the misery. So I think our clients really inspire me to keep going because, one, their need is overwhelming, and even though I'm just putting a Band-Aid sometimes on a mortal wound, at least for that moment, whatever time we have together, you know, I give them love and I give them hope. But they bless me so much more in return. That's the beautiful thing about living a life of giving. You know, I say you cannot outgive God or the universe. The more you give, the more you're blessed. And sometimes it's 10, 50, 100 times fold coming back to you. And that's called the universal law of reciprocity. You know, you cannot outgive God. So I think my clients, and then, you know, I'm blessed to have a beautiful, young, amazing girlfriend in my life that, you know, I think she's getting the benefit of everything I was taught by previous experience. And so, you know, it's really about getting out of self and loving the other person, you know, in a deep way.
So it's encouraging to know that you found love again. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that you gave yourself permission not only to love others, but to love yourself enough to be free to love others, which takes us back to your earlier conversation about the commandment that Jesus left us with, which is to love ourselves as we, and then we can love others. So kudos to you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So if our listening audience is interested in contacting you or taking a peek at this new book, what's the best way for them to do so?
So I have my own personal website, which is MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com, and then the foundation is Love for Margot. LoveForMargo.com. So that's the foundation website. Between those two websites, they can contact me. The book is available at Barnes & Noble and also on Amazon. And so, yeah, I'd love for people. And back to just real quickly, you know, I was able to manifest this other person into my life using the technique that this gentleman taught me way back when. I got tired of being alone and somewhat, you know, fighting sadness and loneliness. And within 36 hours by doing my, which is in my book, by the way, this process of manifestation, I was able to manifest this beautiful relationship in less than 36 hours. I recorded it, listened to it three times, and voila, I've been in this relationship ever since. So there's a lot of, we have much more power than we realize. I think that's my biggest message, for people to grasp their power back and quit being brainwashed and realize how powerful they really are.
Wow. Well, Mike, I have enjoyed our conversation today, and I want to thank you for being on the show and one of our best interviews for this I Love Entrepreneurs campaign. Thank you
so much for having
Love Unfiltered.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Listening audience, I want to say thank you for joining us today. We will be back at the mic at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time with Maria Connor, who will be talking about marketing for authors. She's part of Ellicore Media. And tomorrow, we will hear from the president of Ellicore Media, Rochelle Carter, at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. So you want to tune in, because we are going to release my new book called Will the Real Entrepreneur Please Stand Up? And you do not want to miss this. You do not want to miss this. So anyway, call in tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. The number is 1-646-716-6758. And thanks again, Mike Murphy, for giving us an opportunity to come to California this morning virtually. We appreciate you.
Yeah, and thanks for what you're doing for authors, Sharon.
You're welcome. All right. Well, listening audience, happy writing, and bye-bye.